Turn with me in your Bibles to 3 John. That's the third epistle of John in the back of your Bible. Verse 8 is the verse we want, but we'll start reading with verse 5. 3 John, verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 8. And our subject this morning is fellow helpers. Fellow helpers. You'll see the word in verse 8. 3 John, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Here we go. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers to the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us today. We really look forward to what you have for us in the Scripture, Father. It's very simple little application, very simple word in the New Testament, but it has profound consequences. And I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to understand what we're hearing today. And not only that, Father, but to willingly do what you would have us to do about it. For we ask you to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. According to verse 8 in 3 John, we are to be fellow helpers to the truth. That's what we are to do. And that is something... That is something that the Lord gives you to do at certain times in your life and in certain ways. In other words, when I first surrendered to serve the Lord and my life began to change, I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. But I was helping. It was not long after I had received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and had surrendered to Him that I found out about Chick Tracts. And I wasn't very brave, I'll grant you that, but I did what I could. And then somebody asked me if I would help in a Sunday school class, and I did that. We had a few people that got saved at the bank, and so I started a Bible study there. El Buen Pastor was a mission of First Baptist Church in Beeville, started helping out there, then Bible college, and now pastoring. There have been various capacities in which the Lord has used me in my life to be a fellow helper. And it reminds me as we start this message today that the Lord may get you started in what may seem to you to be a very minimal task of help, but maybe a very important part, particularly if it's the one that the Lord puts you in. Because when you do it with the idea of being a fellow helper, you're actually doing it to help somebody else in some capacity with the Bible, with the Word of God. So we are to help each other, and we are to help each other with the Bible, with the truth, fellow helpers to the truth. I want to talk to you today about four ways that we can be fellow helpers to the truth. First of all, we need help understanding the Bible. Some people need help understanding the Bible. When we first get saved or before we get saved, we need help understanding the Bible. So to be a fellow helper to the truth there would be to help somebody understand the Bible. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is famous. This is the passage concerning the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip has been in Ephesus, and the Spirit of God has led him, away from Ephesus to go and join himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. And so Philip obeys the Lord. Okay? Verse 26, The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Now watch it. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? That's a great question. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So the first way that we can be fellow helpers to the truth is to help somebody who needs to understand the Bible understand the Bible. Understand what he's reading. I realize that it's the Holy Spirit who is ultimately the teacher, but he uses us to be able to help people learn what they're reading. This man was reading about that place in Isaiah chapter 53 where Jesus Christ was offered for our transgressions. And the eunuch asked him, Who's he speaking about? Is he speaking of himself or is he speaking about another man? And Philip, from that place, began to preach unto him Jesus Christ. And the man got saved. And the man got saved. So even though the Holy Spirit is the one ultimately that brings this eunuch to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the Lord who arranges that meeting out there on that road back down to Ethiopia. It was nevertheless Philip who helped him understand. And we are given that opportunity to help people understand God uses men and women for this capacity. That's why we have Sunday school classes. This morning while I was teaching adult Sunday school class here, Randy was teaching a class. Tony was teaching a class. My wife and Brenda were teaching a class. The Burns were teaching a class. Kathy, if she's here, was teaching a class with Glenda probably and maybe with Mrs. Bell. Teaching various age groups, there were people working in the nursery teaching something. Even though they weren't teaching something by words, they were definitely teaching something by nurture. And there are people in there doing that now, and there's a junior church going on now, and we've got young people that are involved with that, and the Burns involved with that, and Tony over there involved with that. You say, what is that all about? You know what that is? Those are people that are helping other people understand the Bible. And God uses that. He uses us to train. He uses us to teach. You know, we have a men's Bible study, and as you heard, for 2 years we were training every Monday night on teaching and preaching the Word of God and getting things out of the Word of God. And the men really, really grew with that. Now we've changed that to a monthly men's Bible study, and it's really something for men that's going to be, and we've had other men now start coming to that Bible study. And the men will be at 6 o'clock on May the 2nd. The women at 6 o'clock on May the 2nd getting things that are speaking. You say, why do we do that? Because you know what? We need help to understand the Bible. And we need, for those who need to understand the Bible that don't, we need to be there to help them. You know what discipleship studies are? Do you know what discipleship studies are? That's where one man or one woman, generally, we'll sit down with another man or another woman and teach them one-on-one or perhaps a person teaching a couple or two or three people out of the Bible to help somebody that's new in the Lord begin to grow and get a foundation in the Word of God. We have postings on the internet with our website that have all these sermons and Sunday school lessons. You say, what do you do that for? Because there are people that go there to get information to help them understand the Bible. None of these things supplement their own study. Replace their own study. They supplement. They help. They get people going in the right direction. So here's what I want to say to you. If you are having trouble understanding something in the Bible, I'm talking about you here today. If there's something in the Bible you're having trouble understanding, or if you are getting started and you are having trouble understanding the Bible, listen, ask someone for help. Fellow helpers to the truth. There are people all over this church that would love to have the opportunity to sit down and explain to you something you don't understand in the Bible. I've had people say to me before, you know, I read that passage, I didn't really get it, but now that you said it, it's just as clear as day. That's not a testimony to me as a teacher. It is a testimony to the process of God using some man or woman to help somebody else that doesn't know the Bible to understand it. That's how it works. I would also say this, if you're somebody that understands it well and there's somebody here that needs help understanding, go out of your way to be there, to be available to them. I remember years ago when Bob DeMars got saved, he started reading the Bible and he told me right away, he said, Brother Weller, I've got all kinds of questions. I said, great. Get a spiral notebook and write down your questions as you read. And then once a month we'll get together and go to lunch and you ask me your questions and we'll go to the Bible and get them answered. And I didn't have any idea what can of worms I opened with that. Man, I mean, that guy, by the time he died, had filled that notebook up with questions. But you know what? We would meet from time to time and sit down, and we would go through that notebook, and he would ask those questions, and we would open the scripture, and he would look at those, and he'd get it. As a matter of fact, Brother DeMars and I and Victor were at Cracker Barrel one day for lunch, doing a Bible study over those things. Victor had some questions. And the Culpeppers were there. Remember that day? And they were sitting at another table and saw us as we were doing that. And they came by after their lunch and said, you know, it is really refreshing to see grown men sitting at a table at lunchtime in public studying the Bible. And they're here. They've been saved a long time and decided this might be a good place to check out. I'm going to tell you something. We need help understanding the Bible. And don't be too proud to ask somebody. You'll be amazed at how much more this book means to you when it begins to open up and you get a basic understanding in its foundations and in its doctrines. And don't be afraid to help somebody that doesn't know it to teach them. You say, well, I don't know that much. Yeah, but you know more than they do. Fellow helpers to the truth. All right, so we need help understanding the Bible. Here's another one. We need help ministering the Bible. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We need help ministering the Bible. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2 in verse 25, we read about a fellow named Epaphroditus. You may not have known how to pronounce that, but there it is. Epaphroditus in verse 25 Philippians chapter 2. Look at this in verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because, for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, you know, when you read about what we're doing, that is what I do in the ministry, you can read about it in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, and the Bible says that I am, as a minister, to give myself continually to prayer in the ministry of the Word. But you know what? I have a life like you do, and this church has quite a life of its own. There are many, many things that need to be done here. And so in order to get this work done, in order for Paul to get the work done that he had to do and for us to get the work done that we have to do, God raises up people to help us minister the Bible. Paul depended heavily upon Epaphroditus. He said, how do you know that? Because he says in verse 27, indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Let me say this. Paul would not have been sorry that he had died. He would have grieved like we all do at the loss of a friend, of course. But his sorrow would have been tempered by the fact that this man is saved and was going to spend his eternity with Jesus Christ and wasn't going to have to live in the flesh anymore. But he said, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow, meaning I am depending heavily upon this guy. If we lose him, I am really going to be sorry. This thing is, he is a big, big helper to me. And he says so at the end in verse 30, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Watch it, to supply your lack of service toward me. The Philippians were very faithful to help Paul, but they had gone through a season where they lacked opportunity. And Epaphroditus was the guy that God used to make up that slack. You know what Epaphroditus did? He helped Paul minister the Bible. Listen, he's not the only one. I'm mentioning a man here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And Romans chapter 16, look at verses 1 and 2. And you're going to read about a woman named Phoebe. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, that's a helper, and of myself also. Do you see that she was a big enough help to Paul and to the church and to others in the ministry that Paul commended her to the people in Rome and said, she's our succorer, she's our fellow helper. And whatever she needs, you help her, because she's helping us minister in the Word of God. One more time, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 3. There are other examples of this. Paul makes mention of these regularly. I just wanted to give you a few examples. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Do you see what Paul is saying? He said, guys, this is not Paul's ministry. I am not carrying this ball alone. There are many people that help me, men and women that are laboring so that we can get this Word of God out. We can get it ministered. We need help ministering the Bible. And so over time, God has provided us with additional pastors. We have associate pastors in Tony and Randy. You know what they do? We help each other minister the Bible. They're very, very helpful to you and to us and to this ministry. There are volunteers. Many of y'all are volunteers in various ways in this church. And there is no way that we could minister to the degree that we do in this church and in this ministry if it weren't for you. Because what you do is a help that allows us to do what we're supposed to do and what others are doing to help us. They're Sunday school teachers so that we can teach various age levels, Bible club teachers on Wednesday night so that we can reinforce those teachings and keep them going through the week. We have volunteers handling music and volunteers handling nursery, and volunteers handling cleaning, and volunteers handling maintenance, and volunteers doing all kinds of things. Why? So we can concentrate on giving ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And it could not be done without you. It's your fellow helpers to the truth. You really are. When you think of it, it is just a fabulous thing, and it's exactly what you would expect, because it's God putting people together. You know, I said this, I think, maybe to Randy the other day. The thing that I really appreciate about the way God put us together is we're very, very different people. Tony and Randy and I are very, very different people. We have different personalities. We have different ways of doing things completely. And so what I look at it is, it's like three legs on a stool. What did I say? Completely. Well, we all believe the same book. We all got the same Savior. But we really do. I mean, we just approach life very, very differently. But we're like three legs of a stool. And I mean, if you take one of those legs out, that stool is coming down. But there is a relationship with us where strengths and weaknesses of us make what we do together very like-minded, very much of one heart, very much of one love, very much of one spirit, very much of one mind, and yet different people. So when I say we're different completely, we're absolutely the same when it comes to the unity of the Spirit. That is God. That's the only person I can think of that can do that and put people together. You look in your own relationships. You're very different than your wife. You're very different than your husband. And at times, those differences create conflict because you're like, whoa, why don't you just be a little bit more like me? And then you wake up one day and you go, you know, thank God, I'm really glad you're not like me. I'm having a hard enough time with one of me. It'd be terrible if I had to deal with two of me. And you realize, you know, over time that God has put that together and unified you as one flesh, and yet you're different people. And so you become fellow helpers. We need help understanding the Bible. We need help ministering the Bible. We also need help witnessing with the Bible. We need help witnessing with the Bible. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And look at verse 7. From the very beginning, when Jesus Christ designed how He was going to leave things after His ascension, He started out with 12 guys. This is God's design. Jesus Christ institutes it. And notice what happens here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. He called unto Him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He began to send them forth by two and two. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 1. Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 1. That pattern was not unique of sending them out two by two. It was not unique to the disciples, the original 12 that were the apostles. But notice in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them, how? Two and two, before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. You see that? So when He starts it with the original 12, He sends them out two and two. When He gets 70 more involved, He sends them out two and two. Isn't it amazing when the Spirit of God called somebody to start out on a missionary journey, He said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas. And then when Paul and Barnabas had a conflict, which probably had as much to do with God's hand as it did with their own personal conflict, Paul took Silas and Barnabas took John Mark. That pattern did not stop with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. It continued. Why? Because of this. Listen, we need help witnessing with the Bible. Sometimes you get the burden for a family member or a friend or a coworker, and it's laid on you, and you're like, you know what, I'm feeling guilty. I've got to do something to try to bring this person to Jesus Christ. You don't have to carry that all by yourself. I mean, we can certainly witness to others without waiting for a partner to help us. We're all given opportunities like that. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we need help, and we're more encouraged when we have somebody with us. That's why Jesus Christ sent them out in pairs. In Ecclesiastes, here's what Solomon, the very wise king, said. Two are better than one. That's what he said. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath another to help him up. And sometimes in witnessing, you hit a impasse. And it may be because of your close association with the person. It may be because of differences in religion, and you just really don't know how to talk to this person that has that type of religious background. Whatever the case may be, I know firsthand that there are many times I have been helped by somebody else when I couldn't do it. I've already told you, so I'm not going to drag out the story, but I got to a place where I was in an impasse with my parents. I didn't know how to open that door, and God used Brother Dickman. He had come down to visit with us, and he made an appointment with my father, and he went and he talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what he did, because of his help, that door reopened, and then I was able to go. And sometimes I would want to talk with my father, and I honestly did not feel comfortable enough for whatever reason going alone, and I would take another preacher with me. And I probably visited with him about the Lord as much with some other preacher there with me as I did by myself. He said, "Why'd you do that?" "I needed the help." He said, "Well, you're the preacher. You're pretty good at this." "I need help." We all do. We all do. And the Lord knew that. And he said, "Let me make it easy on you. This, we don't have better soul winners than everybody else. I'm going to send you out by pairs so nobody can individually take credit from what I'm doing anyway." I mean, even the pairs that he sent out, like Paul and Barnabas, you know, they couldn't get along. Still men. God has to get in these things. But I'm going to tell you, that really is help. Many times, and I've offered this from time to time. It's been a while since I've offered it. Many times, church members have called me and said, "Would you help me visit with my father, visit with my mother, visit with my siblings, a friend, co-worker?" And you just don't understand. I am like the Maytag repairman when that call comes in. I am just like, woohoo! I love that. Why? Because then there's no need to break down all those walls to build a relationship. You've already got the relationship. You just need some help. So I'm saying to you now, with people in the church already, but with Tony and Randy and me here, we have things to do. People will call me and say, "You know, I didn't want to bother you, preacher. I know you're busy." But not too busy to minister to the folks in our church. I appreciate your respect. I don't want my phone ringing off the wall so you can tell me that your kid made a goal on Saturday soccer. You know, I am a little busy when it comes to the you know, okay, celebrate that at home, okay? What I'm trying to say is this. None of us that are available are too busy to ever help you when it comes to witnessing to somebody that you're having trouble with. I've seen it happen too many times where God blessed the effort of the two of us when I was called in to help because the person knew they needed the help and were not too proud to ask for it. And the gospel got preached and the person got saved. I can remember, well, I could tell you lots of stories, and I'm not going to do that with you today. What I'm going to tell you is God understands this. Listen, years ago there was a preacher named Daryl Robinson who understood this, and he actually started a program. I don't like programs, so we're not going to start a program. He started a program called Total Church Life. But basically it was this. Let's say that I'd gone to witnessing and I'd led Zach to the Lord. Well, then what I would do is I'd say, "Zach, you know what? I bet you got a good friend of yours. Now that you're so happily saved, I bet you have a good friend that you would like to see have the great gift that you have." And he's like, "Well, of course I would. But how do you think Zach is going to go approach his old running buddy who doesn't even know that he's now a Jesus freak?" You feel that, you know, when you first get saved, you feel that. And so the preacher comes along and says, "Come on, I'll go with you and let's go meet your friend and we'll talk to your friend about the Lord Jesus Christ." Guess what happens? Zach begins to get training. You see, because he sees how the witnessing is done, his very best friend is hearing the gospel, so the likelihood that his good friend is now going to drag him back into a life of sin is being dispelled because now the cat's out of the bag that he's saved. And what happened back in those days is a lot of those friends got saved, and guess what? They had friends. And pretty soon Zach was going with his friend to tell their friend about Jesus Christ. And that's why I say it became a program, because he saw that multiplication effort was actually working. May I tell you something? If you wanted to have a program, that's a pretty good one to have. That's a pretty good one to have because it involves the whole church, total church life. And the Lord has shown us what we do together. And many hands make light work. So we need help witnessing. And never be afraid to ask somebody to help you, and never be afraid or even talk yourself into thinking that we are too busy to help you. You called. You say, "Well, you may have to drive away." Listen, one day David Bush called me and he says, "Would you go with me to Inez? I'd like you to come with me so we can talk to my mother." Well, Inez is on the other side of Victoria. We had a great time of fellowship up there. We sat down and visited with her for a good while. We had some of the typical interruptions. God dealt with all of those. And you know what? She's in heaven today because of that visit. Amen. And boy, we had a time of rejoicing coming home too. And I also learned a lot about his old stomping grounds when he was a kid. If you ever need to know about the real David Bush, I can tell you some things. We need help witnessing. Sometimes I do and sometimes you do. That is a great thing. And I just want to say one more time. We are here to help you. We're here to help you. We give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Word. I can't think of a better way to minister the Word than to be with you to talk to somebody you're trying to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week when I preached and finished up and offered an invitation, I asked how many of us would raise our hands and say, I know somebody that's lost, that I have a very good relationship with, that I haven't witnessed to in a long time, but I've been praying for. And I bet there were over 100 hands that went up. If the reason that you hadn't been able to witness to him in a pretty good while is you've reached that impasse, pick up the phone. If God so leads you to do so, and we'll help you. Amen. We'll help you. All right, we need help understanding the Bible. We need help ministering the Bible. We need help witnessing with the Bible. Fellow helpers to the truth, right? We need help sowing the Bible. We need help sowing the Bible. That's not S-E-W-I-N-G. I just had my Bible re-sown. There are people who do that. We need help sowing it, S-O-W, like the seed of the Word of God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 3. Mark chapter 4 and look at verse 3. Now, sowing the Word of God, according to the way you read about it in the Bible, seems to be a very individual effort. However, I want to show you something. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. What did he sow? Verse 14, the sower soweth the Word. Well, there you go. We need help sowing the Bible. We need help sowing the Word of God. Listen, if there's going to be a harvest, the Word of God has to be sown. And I've said to preachers before, you know, it's harder to lead a soul to Jesus Christ today than it was before, and there are a number of reasons for it, but there are also a number of excuses for it. And I think one of the reasons that it's a little bit harder is that a lot of the soul winning that we did in the past was just that. It was soul winning. People were going in to try to harvest, but people weren't re-sowing. You understand? For there to be a harvest today. It was just see how many I can go out there and get and come back in and say, bless God, another one prayed the sinner's prayer. Well, there was a lot of people that were trying to knock off the fruit, but nobody was putting seed in the ground for the next generation, and here we are. And I think that's also one of the reasons. Now, we certainly pass out tracts individually during the normal course of the day. Some of you have tracts in your pocket right now. You've already made plans where you're going to go to lunch. You've already decided when you pay the bill, you're going to leave a tract with the bill or the change or the tip. You already decided that. And that's good. We all do that kind of thing. We do that and we do it on a very individual basis. But look with me in John chapter 4. Look with me in John chapter 4. When Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples after he's dealt with the woman on the well and he's talking to them about the harvest, notice what he says in verse 37. John chapter 4, verse 37, he says, herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You see it? One. One soweth and another reapeth. We do that. I am so comfortable today, and I want you to understand it wasn't always this way. I am so comfortable today that if I don't get to do much more with a waitress at lunch today or a waiter at lunch today, then give them a tract. I didn't have to tackle them and throw them on the ground, put them in a hog tie, and witness to him for an hour, preach that gospel to him to get that guilt off my back that I didn't talk to him about Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm so comfortable about that, one soweth and another reapeth. I believe that. And the sower doesn't have to be the reaper. Sometimes he is. A lot of times he's not. A lot of times I've entered in and reaped where somebody else had done a lot of sowing. And I didn't take any more credit for the soul that because they prayed when I was there than all those people God had used before that to bring them to that point. We used to go into a harvest and reap like that and say, bless God, I led another soul to Christ. You know what? You just happened to be there when they got saved. This is what you got to do. And because there was a lot being done in their lives before you got there. So one soweth and another reapeth. But then look at verse 38. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Watch it. Other men, plural, labored, and you are entered into their, plural, labors. Well, I know something about sowing. The more seed you can get out, the more likely you're going to have a big harvest. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. I know that. All right, then, if we do things together as a church, and we do things, you know, many hands make light work, it only makes sense then if we help in sowing the Bible, there'll be more seed out there for God to use in order for somebody to be able to get saved at some other point. And I see that real clearly. Men labored in their labors. So in sowing and reaping, we need help. We need help sowing the Bible. And you know something, what you learn when you sow, you learn this. It makes you bolder in witnessing. When I first started passing out tracts, man, I had to do it at night. I'm Nicodemus. You know, and leave them on the cars with no return address, no association. Mail them in unmarked envelopes without a return address to people's addresses. Leave them in drop boxes. I mean, stealthy. And it wasn't because I believe in stealth. It was because I was a chicken. Bobby is so out of place being up here leading singing, you don't even understand. This guy is not the kind of guy that is comfortable here. What am I trying to say? When you break that ice, God gives you a little more boldness. Maybe all you could do is ring the doorbell, hang the Bible on the door, and run before they see you. It won't always be that way. I told you about that guy in Tennessee that was sticking those bottles of tracts in the Mississippi River. You know what? After about 15 years of doing that, he actually got brave enough to witness. What is it? Sowing the seed does increase your courage because you're encouraged by what God does with it. It makes you bolder in your witnessing. You know, we will soon have a neighborhood picked out for Fishers of Men again. And many of you guys are very, very faithful. I'm telling you, when we did Fishers of Men, there were 25 of you that were doing it. And I mean, every time we got back together, there's the same 25 of you, unless there was an irreconcilable conflict. You were there. It was the most beautiful thing I'd seen. And you were just faithful, 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 till 9,000 Bibles were put out by personal invitation. It was fabulous. But you know something? When we do this again, we have a neighborhood picked out. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have more laboring in that? It would shorten the time that it would take to do it. More likely that we would find people at home and an opportunity for others who are going, who are comfortable at fishing, to be able to spend a little more time at one door trying to see if God is interested in catching a fish without the need of saying, but I've got to finish the rest of this street. Doesn't have to worry about it. Other sowers are there. Do you understand? What a great opportunity. So if you've ever thought about it, I'm going to tell you something. That group of faithful people do not have a selfish lock on that ministry. They would welcome the help. And we need the help. We need help sowing. We're going to go to the parade on Saturday. There are going to be, I don't know, thousands of people there. Again, the more of us that are sowing, two things are true. The more tracts that will be sown into that field. Secondly, if I know there are ample people sowing, I don't have to go over the same territory you've been over. I can stop and witness to somebody if there's a divine appointment, because I know the rest of that route will be covered. You say, hey, what does that take? I don't know, two and a half hours. But it's Saturday. And? Lift up your fields. Your field. Lift up your fields. Lift up your fields. Lift up your eyes. The fields are wide unto harvest. Listen, you know what we're talking about today? Fellow helpers to the truth. And if God has ever stirred your heart to help somebody in the truth, there are a bunch of different ways in this church you can do it. All of these things that we've mentioned help a ton. First of all, I want to say hats off to you guys and ladies who have done that faithfully year after year after year without recognition and without compensation and without being brought up here. We're going to have our volunteer appreciation day. Oh, thank you again. I mean, you know, you just do it. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. Why? Because you are fellow helpers to the truth. And I encourage others of you, if you haven't, there are a lot of places that you can do it. You can help somebody understand the Bible. Wouldn't you love to be used by God to help somebody to learn something in the Bible they didn't know that God gave you that helped you get over the humps they're going to have to go over? Help somebody understand the Bible. Help us minister the Word. Let us help you witness with the Word. And let's help each other sow the Word of God. And may God bless us as fellow helpers to the truth. Amen. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to be able to read the Scriptures and see what You have to say. And we also thank You, Father, for showing us how those Scriptures apply to us individually and how they apply to us as a church. I ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us to be the fellow helpers You want us to be to the truth. Well, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Two things real quickly. Number one, I didn't preach the gospel. I made reference to it. If you came here today and the Spirit of God is dealing with you about your soul and you're lost and you know it and you need to be saved, we are not going to send you out of here without the gospel. All you have to do is raise your hand and say, you know what, I need to talk to somebody about Jesus. And we will stick around here and talk to you about Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. So I'm going to ask you, is there anybody here right now, raise his hand or her hand and say, preacher, stick around here, I need to talk to somebody about Jesus. And we'll talk with you. Anybody like that? All right, second thing I want to say is this. Is there anybody here who'd raise a hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saying that I'm going to call you or Tony or Randy, but I need some help witnessing. I got somebody I'm trying to witness to, and I need some help there. Would you pray for me? Raise your hand. Amen. Okay. All right. Father, You've seen these hands that have been raised. I'm asking You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they've already signified to me and before You that they admit, I need some help getting this done. All right, then, Father, I pray this right now as we're praying and through the early part of this coming week, I pray You'll do two things for them. First of all, I pray that You will put a person on their mind or on their heart, perhaps their spouse, perhaps a close friend, perhaps one of us. You'll put somebody on their heart that they can call and ask for help in witnessing to their friend or coworker or family member. And I ask You to do that for them. And, then, Father, I pray that You will, by Your divine scheduling, open a perfect opportunity for them to show up with this person You've laid on their heart, just like You've done so many times before, where they'll be able to witness, and get that gospel to a friend. Let me ask you another question. Is there anybody here today that would like to raise a hand and say, you know, preacher, I've not really been involved with the church in sowing the Word of God, but I would like to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me today that God would give me the courage to help out. Is anybody like that? I see your hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, now these folks have acknowledged before me and certainly before You, more importantly before You, that You've talked with them today about this helping out and they hadn't been able to do it. Perhaps it's a scheduling problem. I pray You'll clear the schedule. Perhaps it's just a lack of courage. I understand that. Or a lack of burden. Boy, I surely understand that. I ask You, Father, right now, while their heads are bowed and we're taking this time to pray, that You'll minister to them and let them know, hey, we could use the help and I want You to help. And I pray, Father, your Spirit will lead them and fill them and strengthen them and encourage them and use them as fellow helpers. Amen. Father, I've got one other thing. I just want to ask you all this. Is there anybody here today to say, Preacher, I'm all new to this stuff. I really need somebody to help me understand some things about the Bible. I really need to get started in some basic stuff. Just slip your hand up right now, slip it right back down, say, pray for me. And I ask you to do that so we can help you as well. Anybody like that? Please help me get some basic stuff going. Okay. Amen. Father, you've seen the hand, and I ask your hands. I ask you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of courage to admit I need help. I pray, Father, that we will be available and that the right person will get with the person who raised the hand and get this basic Bible down and supply a foundation upon which to build a very fruitful life in the Word of God. Father, for all those that are so helpful in helping us minister the Word, I pray even now your Spirit will give them a great deal of encouragement, a great deal of satisfaction, and a great understanding that they are rewarded in the labor for what they're doing. And may they with us be patient for the harvest and patient for the time of that reward. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Bobby, what song do you have for us? Oh, yeah. And thank you, Bobby. Bobby, save my bacon. If you want to join the church while we're singing this invitation hymn, you can come.
We're going to sing just the first and the third verse of this song, number 160.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou can use us, every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou can use us every day and every hour.
Amen, amen.
It'll be easier for you to see Josh and Roxanne as we welcome them into Bible Believers Baptist Church. Josh, as you know, was recently saved. He was recently baptized. And, I mean, they just want to, let's get it. Let's get the Bible. Let's get going. Josh was at our Bible study. Roxanne is, years ago, has taught Sunday school with us, so we know that there's a real heart's desire not only to be here to enjoy what we have in the way of fellowship, but to participate with us, and we're very thankful for that. Plus, Josh likes to fish. And nothing wrong with that. Anyway, so if you would like to have the Montgomerys as members of Bible Believers Baptist Church, signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're glad that you're here. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed, but you make sure to come by and greet these folks. And we are delighted. Remember now, Francisco said, be back here tonight, 7 o'clock. I want you to hear what's going on in Canada and see if we can't help him for another 6 months or a year. Amen. Father, thank you so much. What a wonderful day we've had. I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bless the Montgomerys so much for their decision to be here and so many of others that joined. Lord, we pray that you will use them and that you will minister to them here. We're so thankful. Father, bless this afternoon. May we have a good, restful afternoon and come ready to hear about the great work you're doing up in Canada and also ready to hear more Bible preaching, Father, that will encourage us. We ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.